no, you're right. I'm not very impressed with the earth.
That's right.
I used to be. I used to love the oith, but now I'm not a big fan of the oith. And that helps explain me turning down the cruise of a lifetime to the Middle East in the footsteps of Paul. Yeah, I'm just, the earth waxes old, and my opinion of it waxes dull. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Being a celestial being, I'm just visiting here. I am passing through. I didn't used to feel that way. I used to feel somewhat comfortable here, but anymore, I feel like an alien. And some people might second that motion concerning me. But really, my realm is inherent in the heavens. That Philippians 2:10? If it's not, it should be.
It's 3:10?
I don't know, 3:10 or 2:10. I'm passing through. And so the thought of seeing Jerusalem or Ephesus or Athens or Patmos, I mean, there's an appeal on a certain level, but it's not a deep appeal because I'm just not impressed, not even with scenery anymore. Our visitors here, Steve and Laura, they pointed out that, wow, the mountains here are fantastic. I said, they are? Oh, yeah, they are. Right. I'm just, somebody told me I need to visit their part of the country because there are awe-inspiring sights. I'm telling you, you'd be disappointed if you brought me to your awe-inspiring sight, because the only sight that's going to inspire my awe is to see my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, besides the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. But other than that, well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a harbinger of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe a good time to tell you that I believe women are a demonstration on earth that God is beautiful. That's another topic altogether. I get into that in my book, Eve Raised, which is going to be coming out this year, God willing. So I, you know, turned down this amazing offer by Ann Brechtelsbauer because the earth is just not that impressive to me anymore. I'm tired of it. It's old. It's tottering old thing. It's going to be rejuvenated, true, but my realm's not inherent here. Now, I asked you last week to write me if you thought I should get into a dissertation on the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and I got several emails that say, yes, please do it, so I think I'm going to do that. I'll probably only take one show doing it, but it's not going to be today's show. So watch out for the lost 10 tribes. I might even do that Monday. We'll see. But for now, I want to make sure I finish up in Romans 11. So let's go and read Romans 11, 33 and verse 34. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how inscrutable are his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who knew the mind of the Lord, or who became his advisor? His judgments are inscrutable. You just can't scrute them. You try to scrute God's judgments and they're inscrutable, so all your efforts of scrutation are screwed, basically, because his judgments are inscrutable. And if you want to trace his ways, forget about it. You're not going to trace his ways, but you can understand his purpose. His purpose is knowable. His judgments and his ways, no, not so much. They're too deep for human perception. That's what Paul's saying here. But we can grasp his purpose. It's a difference between knowing what God's going to do, but not why or how he does it. Who knows why or how, especially the how? Why? Maybe. How? No. Because none of us would do it the way God's doing it. And I'm telling you, if there were, this is going to be a hard saying here. I'm hesitating here before I disclose this thought of mine. Hang on a second. Okay. If there were an election and there were two gods running for office, two capital G gods who could bring us to the same result, and one of these gods said, I can get you to the same result, that is all in all, without the cross, without the Holocaust, without World War II, without Vietnam, without genocide, without your car not starting, without death, I can get you to the same place. And this God, capital G God, is running against the God we know, who seems to not be able to get there without these traumas. I would vote this god out so fast his beard would snap. I would vote him out so fast his long velvet skirts would spin. Because I would love to get to the end without the ensuing, without the necessary trauma. Apparently it's necessary. I'm telling you, I teach that all is of God, and I teach that God is the creator of evil, Isaiah 45, verse 7, because it's true. But if you think I like it, you're crazy. I cry, and I scream, and I complain about it. But there's no other way, because if there was another way, just as Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there's another way, I'll take it. Okay? If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. If there's another way, if there's another capital G God who is running against this one, who could get us to the consummation all in all without the cross and all these other things, I'd vote for him and I'd vote this one out. That's just the way it is. That's why there is one God and one mediator between God and man. One God. Because if there was any alternative, we'd take it. But we have to deal with this, and we have to deal with them. Why? Because he's the only one. And this is the only way things could be done with these horrifying things, because it's all about the contrast. You know that by now. We're not going to be able to glory for eternity in the grace, basking in the pleasure of heaven without the necessary backdrop of evil, pain, hurt, fatigue, death. We have to know these things. Evil, we have to know these things. So we can't grasp how God is getting to the end. It's beyond us. We're too feeble for it. It's too deep for human perception. But his purpose, that's another matter. And I can find that in Ephesians 1, verse 10. This is what he purposed in Christ. This is what God purposed in Christ for us. We are to have an administration of the complement, that is the filling of the eras, to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth, in him in whom our lot was cast, being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. It's a purpose according to the purpose of the one. We can know the purpose. There it was, brilliantly and for once succinctly articulated by our favorite apostle Paul, to head up all in Christ, to complete the universe, and he uses us to do it, the body of Christ. You know, I've often thought about this. Farmers know that if they put a seed in the ground and water it, and if it gets plenty of sunshine, it's going to produce a crop. A little seed is going to produce a stalk of corn. Not one of them knows how it happens. Not one of them. You can plant a tree and you can enjoy the fruit off the tree, but you have no idea how it happens. This is my analogy here of saying that we can know God's purpose, but not how he goes about effecting his purpose. We can know his goal, but the process by which he attains his goal, it's way too complex for our minds. Way too complicated and convoluted. And you would never order this for yourself. You know you wouldn't. I wouldn't order this for myself. But we can know where God's going with it. And every step along the way is predetermined. Don't forget that. God is sovereign. Verse 35 now of Romans chapter 11. For who knew, this is the end of verse 34, for who knew the mind of the Lord? Who became his advisor? Or who gives to him first, and it will be repaid him, seeing that out of him and through him and for him is all. To him be the glory for the eons. Amen. People have said to me, Martin, well, you say that this is all means all because it says all. Just because it says all, you think it means all. And they say, you have to look at the context. I say, yes, I agree with you. You have to look at the context. So what is the all of the context? Well, this. If anyone advised God, or if anyone gave something to God first before God had thought of having it himself, if anybody paid God anything before God had possession of it, only then could everything not be out of God. This is the analogy Paul is using. Who gives to him first and it will be repaid? Who knew the mind of the Lord? Who became his advisor? Seeing that, this is the key, seeing that out of him, through him, and for him is all. Seeing that all is out of him. In other words, if one person could give God anything first, then not all is out of him. But since this is a rhetorical question, like, duh, of course you don't give God anything. Therefore, everything is of God. Everything. This proves that all means all here. Unless there's one thing you can think of that you gave to God first that he didn't have. This is a logic problem. And if you're not logical, you're not going to get it. And you're going to make a stupid argument and a ridiculous argument that not everything is of God. This verse says it is. This is the most comprehensive verse that can be uttered. These are the most comprehensive words in Scripture, I think. Romans 11:36. God is the source of everything. All is out of him. He's the source. He's the channel. All is out of God. All is through God. He's the channel of all. And he's the object of God. All is into him. That's what the Greek says, literally. All is into him. The Concordant Version says for him, but there's a little superscript I-O. And why they don't put into in the context is beyond me. All is into God. That's its consummation. That's its object. The universe came from him. The universe has its course in him. And he will be the universe's ultimate. This settles everything. It settles every speculation as to the origin of things. Did things come out of nothing? No, they came out of God. Nothing exists out of nothing. It came out of God. All is out of him. This explains the history of everything. Creation is out of God. God is the one behind everything, everything. Not the least of which is the movements of mankind. And the goal is right here in this statement too. The source, the channel, and the goal. God is operating in everything, Ephesians 1:11. So that eventually he's going to be there all in all. That's the goal. And this winds up here in 11:36. To God be the glory for the eons. Amen. I can't think of a better place to stop.